Welcome to this edition of Rainer on Leadership. I know all of you are counting them, and you have this log where you're counting each and every one. This one is episode number 579 on Rainer on Leadership. You add to that, revitalize and replant. And we got over about 700 of these. I know you all got them in your logbooks, and you're excited about them. We're your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. We got a lot of people joining us today. I'm Tom Rainer. We've got the co-host, Sam Rainer. And it just so happens that Sam and Tom are in the same city. We're not usually in the same city. He's in Bradenton. He's a little bit farther west than I am in the city of Bradenton, but I am in Bradenton as well. Two different parts of Bradenton, but we're talking today. We're also joined by Amy J. Amy Jordan is in the Richmond area, and she is providing a lot of the information that will end up showing up in your show notes and just being in the backstage of a lot of things that are going on. We've got Kevin Spratt. If you have not met him, he is the new vice president and at Church Answers. His responsibilities, title is chief growth officer, but that basically means, Kevin, make everything work. We got to just have it work well. And then we are joined as well by a guest today. I'm going to give a little bit more information about Eric Roberts, but this is going to be an exciting time because you're going to hear some information that I think is going to just be revolutionary for your church, a resource that he has. When he talked to me about it, when we had lunch together in Spring Hill, Tennessee, not too long ago, I said, dude, I have got to get you on the podcast, and you've got to announce to the world what you're doing. So we'll be talking to him for just a moment. As always, we are grateful to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Their mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. The school has more than 40 different degree programs. The one we love is the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization, not suggesting we don't love the others, in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalize Network. It's a 37-hour degree designed to help students move established churches from flatlining to flourishing. Learn more about this program by visiting SEBTS.edu, or just go to your show notes and look at it there. Where you're going, Southeastern will help you get there. Sam, you had mentioned that you have been sending a lot of people to Southeastern Seminary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to training and developing people in the church, inevitably, you will have those who feel a call. I understand the nuance of that word and what does it mean, but who will just feel like God is leading them to a theological education. And where most of our people land is Southeastern. That's where they go. Of course, I encourage it. I think it's a great school, but they are naturally drawn there. This Master of Arts in Church Revitalization is going to fill a huge need in the local church. So if you're thinking theological education, if you're thinking church revitalization, you have got to go check that out.
All right.
And I will add, I do like your new studio. This is very fancy, Dad. I mean, I am entirely impressed with the studio that you've built for yourself here.
Well, I have not built it, Sam, and you're being totally sarcastic, which is one of your spiritual gifts since you are a Rainer. I am in a closet. I'm in a closet in the guest bedroom. Do you know why I'm in this closet, Sam?
Because you've got leaks and pipes and...
That's part of it. But the other part is the modems in this closet. I make sure that I transmit well during all of this. So that's why I'm in the closet. But thanks for noticing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful new studio that you have there.
Thank you very much. We're joined today by Eric Roberts. I mentioned to you that I had lunch with Eric and his wife, Emily, and their son, Augie, not too long ago. Nelly Joe and I had great conversation with them. And just imagine the scenario. I love the title that we have here, How to Build a Worship Ministry When You Have Nothing and Nobody. And I just absolutely love the fact that he has a ministry and resource, or resources is the best way to put it, for you to build a worship ministry in your church, regardless of size, regardless of what type of talent you think you have. And this is one of the big voids that many pastors and other church leaders perceive that they have. Eric, welcome to Rainer on Leadership, and I cannot wait to begin to talk about this, but first of all, a welcome to you, my friend.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it's a exciting ministry. It is an exciting opportunity. First thing I'm going to ask you to do is just talk to us about why are so many churches, Eric, scrambling to get worship leaders and musicians?
Well, I think, Tom, the number one reason that churches are scrambling is it's just hard to find skilled musicians. I mean, whether you're in Nashville, Tennessee, right here, or just at the ends of some random little small town, it is extremely difficult to find musicians who are skilled and in skilled in worship and skilled in playing. And beyond that, even skilled in leading worship and doing ministry. So being a musician takes a long time. And the second thing, churches just aren't really super intentional about continually training from within their church to train people. It's not often that you go to church and hear them say, hey, we're going to give guitar lessons to everybody. So it's just not an intentional thing, I think, that they're thinking about. That's one of the two biggest things. They don't have the right resources. And that's, I think, been, that was even a problem when I started teaching guitar. And trying to find the right books and the right methods to teach people to play fast, to learn to strum, and to learn to sing. It's just finding the right resources and being intentional about training. It's really hard to do that. And I think that's why they kind of come out and go, oh, no, we don't have enough people, or we can't find somebody. That's the beginning.
And I think this is a very real struggle in a lot of churches, because worship ministry is one of, if not the most visible ministries to the church, because it's something that people see and experience for the most part every time that the gathering occurs. So if you're struggling for volunteers, if you're struggling to equip people, if you're struggling to get people to utilize the gifts that they have, this one's felt perhaps more than other ministries, just because it's just so visible.
Let's begin to let Eric tell us about what he has developed. Sam, we're going to be, you and I are about to be blown away with what he is about to describe to us. And
well, that's great. I just met Eric, like, just when we signed on and we're recording this. So, you know, I could use a morning, because we're recording this in the morning, I could use a morning where I'm blown away. So I'm actually looking forward to this.
Well, I did not mention, and Eric did mention it, that Eric's in the Nashville, Tennessee area. He's in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And that's how I've gotten to know him. We were both members of the same church. Your youngest brother is our pastor. But Eric's been doing this for some time. And Eric, tell us about the ministry, how it's been developed. Give us the background of it.
Well, the background is, it's funny. I was about 16 years old and I started teaching guitar to a much older guy out of my parents' basement. I started playing guitar when I was young and they kind of noticed, oh, this kid can play. Yeah, teaches some stuff. So I started teaching guitar right out of their basement. I taught guitar through high school and into college. I started writing. I hand wrote my first book on how to play guitar, and it was a worship guitar. I got saved when I was 17. Turned my interest to playing in the church and doing worship. I wrote my first book by hand because I was writing every single chart for every student by hand. After a while, I said, I need to create a curriculum. I went through all the curriculums on teaching guitar, and all the curriculums, they just didn't seem to have exactly what I wanted. So I started writing, and I became a worship leader out of college. And now we've created over 400 training videos and probably over 300 YouTube videos that are free on YouTube. And many, many more books and lessons to do that. The ministry has always sort of been growing from my personal experience teaching one-on-one and in groups by being a worship leader. Every time I would take a new church as a young worship leader, it would be like, okay, we've got two people here and one here, and, you know, let's get this band going. So I realized very quickly that, you know, training was going to be, it was the foundation of everything that I was doing in my ministry. If I couldn't get the band to play on time, or if I couldn't get enough players to play around me, I'd be standing up there by myself, which is okay. But you know, when they hire you and say, let's get some music going, it was like diving into new training with every assignment. And all through those years, that's where this material in the Foundations courses through Worship the King came from, actually. So that's sort of my story, a real quick version of my story.
Well, Eric, that is fascinating. And tell us how this resource has been utilized so far. Let's break it down really practical in the local church. So if I were to utilize what you were providing, what does that look like in my church?
Okay, so yeah, for many years, it was me teaching and doing these things on YouTube and writing books and things like that. And just a couple years ago, my wife and I realized we want to get this off the internet, not get it away from the internet, but get it into the churches and get people's hands on it. We wanted to get people together I started noticing that in this kind of digital culture that we want to learn together and we got to be together. So we started the Worship Guitar Bible Study. It is 6 weeks and it is four chords. And at the end, you play How Great Is Our God. So I just got off the phone this morning with Rob and Amy, their pastors, small church, about 200 in Pennsylvania. And they took on themselves to learn the Worship Guitar Bible Study together. And then in February of 2019, they did this in a small group of 10 people in their church. And now, I mean, I was blown away by Rob's story this morning. And he's shared with me a little bit through text. But Rob is, he's a pastor who is really got the vision that I had in my heart when I started the Bible study. He's got 8 new guitar players at his church. This is just since February. So he is built, the biggest problem I think Rob is having right now is naming all the different bands that they've started just since February, with people who have, out of those people, those 10, 8 of them have went on to do youth worship. They've got a couple people on their main service. They started a new band called Generations that does every fifth Sunday. And these are all people who have never played the guitar, all people who just showed up for a 6-week course, and it has really transformed their church. And Rob is excited, and he has really embodied the whole vision of getting this off the internet and into the church so that it can equip people to really grow the church through worship ministry.
So let me make sure that I am getting this for clarity for our audience. You are training people within the church to do worship leadership, to do instrumentation, to do vocals. Basically, you become the trainer for those who have no training and give them a basic training so any church can build a worship team with those who are already in the church, even if they don't think they have them. Am I summarizing it correctly?
You are right, Tom. And what I've been thinking this whole time, and I see that churches will do this all through the years I've seen, they'll say, we need a worship leader. So they'll put out an ad and they'll hire somebody to bring somebody in. And it can create problems. You bring somebody in, you don't know them. So what I'm saying in this new version, in this new phase of Worship the King going forward, is your next worship leader is sitting in your pew right now. Those people have gifts, they have desires. And we are coming alongside those churches with the simple resources. These resources absolutely work. I mean, anybody can play many, many songs with four chords, and they can lead worship effectively within just weeks. And so we're coming alongside those churches, training in, we've actually expanded the whole program, worship guitar, piano. We have a vocal foundations track, drums, bass, and we're even going to hit sound and audio, which is always a problem in small churches, or any church is getting the sound and the audio right. So the new courses are called Foundations, and it hit me about a year ago when I realized that all of these things can be solved if we just understand the foundations of music, the foundations of singing, the foundations. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be like up here on level 10 to be a good worship leader. And we want to help people, encourage people, and give the churches a way to move easily toward that training, to where it's not a pain anymore. It doesn't feel so painful because their people are getting out of the pews and getting on the stage and becoming worship leaders.
So let me tell you how acute this problem is, and just kind of what I've experienced as a lead pastor. I've heard of churches putting out ads on Craigslist, just like, hey, we need somebody, musicians, anybody.
Right, right.
And while there may be some merit to that, I'm certainly not opposed to utilizing every method possible to find someone. How much better to have a very intentional process of identifying people within the congregation who are already part of the body to help out. And that's where I think a lot of the value of this is, you know, that acute feeling of we need a guitarist, we need a drummer, we need a pianist, we need whatever, can be resolved with some training, which the church needs to be doing anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the big churches too, the very large churches that I've been involved with, they will tell me, I've asked them over the years, what is the biggest problem? I'm trying to solve some problems. I'm trying to find the problems. And even these very large churches will say, we don't have enough guitar players for our campus. We don't have a drummer. Our drummer just moved. Now we're out. So they're even dealing with the idea that now you have 4 campuses and now you need 4 drummers every Sunday. So from the very smallest church to the very largest church, training has to become part of the DNA. Musical training has to be a part of the DNA, or the church can't thrive with the worship ministry. It's absolutely true. It's been my experience, and it's small and large, and it's a major problem. And I think that those people are in the pews. I know they're in the pews, and they're just going, how can I get involved?
Sam, the first time I heard from Eric I immediately started thinking about the normative churches under 250, maybe a little bit larger, 250 to 500. And then it hit me. Not only is this something for all size churches, but as Eric just said, Sam, think about the multi-movement and how being able to train people for multi-venue and multi-site. Think about the implications there. You just went multi-site. Think about the implications of your church.
Oh, yeah. And one of the issues that we had was finding people to lead worship. Now, we've done a decent job of equipping people at West Bradenton. We can certainly do a whole lot better. So we were able to identify people. But yeah, just launching a separate campus, we have five services across two sites and two languages. It is challenging every week to, for lack of a better word, fill all those spots that are needed to lead out in worship. And I'm actually very grateful to our worship team. I think they've done an incredible job. But it is a struggle on a week-to-week basis to identify people. And I'll just add to this, you know, I think that worship training and equipping has got a very similar story to evangelism, because evangelism was something that used to be program-based. Good, bad, or ugly, and whether the particular program worked or not is not the point. You were very intentionally doing evangelism through a program, and there was a way and a method of doing evangelism. We can argue the merits of any particular program, but it was there. It was training people. Worship used to be programized in the church. It still is in a lot of churches, but a lot of churches got rid of the programs, just like evangelism. They got rid of the evangelism program, got rid of the worship program, and didn't replace it with anything. And then we wonder, where are all of the people who can do this? Why are people not able to do this? Well, you canceled a program that maybe it needed to be canceled, but you didn't replace it with anything else. And I think that this is a very common story in a lot of churches, any size church, where we used to do a lot of music programs, so to speak, but we've canceled the program and we haven't replaced it with anything.
And I want Eric to tell us, all right, if someone, first of all, Eric, we need to know exactly where to get this resource, because I'm so fired up about it. And when they get this resource, tell us specifically what they are getting. We know that you're equipping people in the church to lead worship, to play guitar, to play drums, to play keyboard, to play all the different instruments. And then now you're talking about sound and lighting. So someone, where do they go and what are they getting?
All right. So first of all, you would go to worshipbandbuilder.com, worshipbandbuilder.com, and you just click on start training. And right now here in October, we're rolling out the guitar and vocal module. So that is our first module. And I know, Tom, you had asked me to explain how we're going to expand this. And our next module will be piano and keyboard. And we have a lot of this on Worship the King, but worshipbandbuilder.com. And you can start with the most important two is our guitar and vocal. And those are in one module. And the way that it works is the church purchases one module for one price. And everybody, this is really the heart of this, everybody in the entire church can gain access through that church's code. So they can all have their own account. You can use this in different ways. You can put it in the bulletin and say, hey, we're starting this. If you'd like to get involved in worship, you just go to this website, you put in the church's code, and you're in. It is for the entire church congregation. That's where the shift has to happen. This isn't just a resource for worship leaders to use on during the week to prepare for service. This is a resource to train the people sitting in the pew. And they are going to be released in modules. That first module for guitar and vocal is out in October, and you can get it at worshipbandbuilder.com.
Hey, Eric, right, well, you'll appreciate this. Can I just tell a quick story? Is that all right?
You can tell a quick story.
Okay. So my first church, I didn't realize that part of being, you know, the sole pastor, there were six people there my first Sunday, was that I also had to lead in worship. So I quickly learned that the way worship was led was through a karaoke machine, and that I was responsible for leading that worship. And let me tell you, do you know how hard it is to find karaoke albums of hymns?
It was rather
difficult. And I did that. I did that for 2 years. I led worship through a karaoke machine. There was only one album that I could find. It only had like 10 hymns on it. So we rotated those hymns and we wore them out.
That's great.
Sam, I attended that service one time, and you could have used Eric's training a whole lot.
That's the exact point I'm making, yes. Is I really would have benefited from this. Where were you 10 years ago?
I was mostly on YouTube.
15 years ago now, man, I'm getting old.
So once again, give us the site to go get this training for all the church, Eric.
Yes, for the whole church, it's worshipbandbuilder.com.
It's in the show notes, but to our listening audience, Sam, this is revolutionary. Training people in the church at a very affordable price in a very simple way where you can build a worship band. You can build just what it says, worship band builder. You can do that. And I just think that this is going to take off. And as a result of my lunch with Eric, when he began to tell me this, really what he's been doing for some time, but now he's bringing it forward in a way that all churches can do at any time. I said, we got to get this on the podcast. Eric, am I leaving anything off? I want to make sure we've covered everything about this because I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, well, I can add just one more thing. And it really is the heart of this, that pastors want a successful worship ministry in their church. And this tool, it allows them to easily move in that direction. But it isn't just about worship. So I just want to tell this short story. A sixth grade girl is going to Rob's church, very shy. She's just coming with her grandfather, and he brings her to the worship guitar Bible study. She doesn't really go to church. Her parents don't go. And now she is leading the youth worship Sunday school class just after doing that thing. So this is really life-changing for the people in your church. And those are the stories that really kind of hit to the heart of what we're doing this for.
I love it. I'm asking our listening audience to go to the link. You'll see it in the show notes. It's an incredible resource. I'm going to be talking about it a lot. We're going to be just doing more and more telling the story about what is going on here, because at Church Answers, and I'm going to have Eric at Church Answers in the very near future, at Church Answers, the most common question, or one of the most common questions we get, is how do I find a worship leader? How do I find instrumentalists? How do I find vocalists? How do I find sound and lighting guys? And eventually, this is all going to be done where you can grow them within your church. Highly affordable. Very simple. Eric, thank you for being with us, my friend.
Thank you, Tom.
We are always glad to Vander Blumen. He was texting me yesterday while I was doing a conference. And so, William, if you're listening to me, I'm sorry I'm so slow getting back to you, but you interrupted me. Just want to let you know. Vander Blumen has been serving churches for more than 9 years, but did you know that Vander Blumen also serves Christian schools, nonprofits, and Christian businesses? So if you're listening, and I don't know why we have that in there, because if you're not listening, you wouldn't be hearing it anyway, and you know a Christian school, a nonprofit, a values-based business that is hiring, contact our friends at VanderBlumen.com. And William Vander Blumen is always a friend of Tom Rayner, Church Answers, Sam Rayner, and all of our team. Once again, thank you, Eric. Thank you, team. And we will continue to talk about this incredible burgeoning ministry as we help churches get healthy together.